Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Hey, Juicy Lemoners, before we start the show, we wanted to remind you to follow and subscribe to us on whichever podcasting app you're listening to. And as always, enjoy the show. Is it ever okay to pose for a photo with slanted eyes? This week on Lemon, why has an influencer refused to apologize over her Instagram photos? And what's the difference between living a goal-based life and a life-based life? And as always, we have some new exciting recommendations to share with you. Each week we dissect the conversations that Asian millennials are having, so don't go anywhere because you're listening to Lemon.
What a time. Smell the open fire, untangle Christmas light, and dress up a star.
Hello, welcome to The Lemon Show. As always, my name is Philip Cooch.
And my name is Thomas Tan.
And Tom, I don't think we mentioned on the podcast, but your Christmas album, which is the intro to our podcast at the moment, because as you guys know, we're on a campaign to get you to number one before Mariah gets there.
Look, it's a little bit of a long shot, but we'll try.
Look, your album debuted at number 7 on the independent charts in Australia, which is amazing, because Kylie Minogue was number 1. So
we had to give in.
So look, number 7, I'll take that. But also another good news, Sophie Monk, who you've been secretly working with in the background. For those of you guys who don't know who Sophie Monk is, she is like a major celebrity in Australia. She was like the original... what do they call it? Pop Idol?
I think it
was before American Idol and Australian Idol was a thing. Mm. And her band won the show. And so she's had a 20, 30 year
career. It's the same show that Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh, is that right? Was she on that show too?
She was on Pop Stars, but the American version.
Wow.
So that's how she... And then she got put in a girl group called Eden or something. Same thing with Sophie Monk, but her was in Bardo.
Well, Sophie Monk is pretty iconic. And she was our bachelorette a couple of years ago. Yeah. And you've been working with her for the last couple of months during lockdown. She uploaded the song that hopefully will be the first song that she's ever released in 15 years.
She did.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
So that song's actually called Nice to Meet You. So it's a story about how, she's been kind of taken advantage of in the industry, I guess, that people have used her, said not very nice things about her, and the image that the media made her to seem like, that she's actually a very smart person, but they made her seem like a blonde ditzy girl, and that's not who she is. So this story is about, or the lyrics behind the story is about Sophie, who she actually is. Hey, it's nice to meet you. I've tasted like the cup of fame, which is the lyrics that we wrote, and we've done this and that, but now it's my awakening kind of thing.
So what is it like working with Sophie Monk?
Oh, she's brilliant. Like, she's funny. Like, she doesn't even try to be funny, but because she's like a very country girl, she says things and we're like, oh, okay.
Dark humor.
Dark humor. I love it.
Well, in other good news, can you say it for me? Because I don't want to say like I'm bragging, but I'm one of the young entrepreneurs of the year in my industry.
You got the entrepreneur of the year of the industry. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I won the young entrepreneur of the year in hospitality and tourism in Melbourne, Victoria, which is a very big honor. And they're doing like a nationals round next week. But look, I already feel very happy that I've won the Melbourne one. So I'll take that.
I hope you get like a trophy or just at least something.
I hope so. But I think it's just a really good recognition, especially for the team who've been working very hard this year. So to be seen is very nice. So I'll take that for the team.
True. But going for 2020 to 2021, is there anything that you're going to be doing a little bit differently or something that you've learned this year that you're going to be taking towards next year?
Well, I think in 2020, I think I've learned to, I think, be more wise who I want to spend my time with. I think, before COVID, we were spending time with everyone. We're just filling our calendars constantly. And during lockdown, it kind of like was like a detox almost. Like, you kind of like only make time for the people you actually want to hang out with. So I think for 2021, I'll be a bit more conscious of that and just spend time with people who I actually want to hang with and not hang with people for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Or for yourself. What is something you learned in 2020 that you'll take into 2021?
I can be a little bit passive sometimes, and then what I'm really thinking or what I really want to say, I don't really voice my opinion that much. So I think going into 2021, I'm going to be a lot more direct. I mean, you think I'm very direct already, but I'm going to be even more direct and just not blunt, but a bit more, What's the word? Like,
guys, like, Tom is the sort of person, maybe just to me anyways, he'll tell me if an angle looks bad on me.
But just see, but to other everybody else, it's like, I'm very, like, I will try to say it in the nicest way, but sometimes it's not exactly how, what I want sometimes. So it's going to be a little bit more direct. But the second thing going to 2021 is probably with Instagram. Like, majority of my Instagram feed is filled with, like, half-naked boys. Not boys, ew, sorry. Half-naked men with abs and pecs and everything, right? Because it's like my body goals, like my gym goals. Oh, I want to have six pack. I want to have great pecs like that, good biceps muscles. But it kind of takes a bit of a toll on my mental health.
It is never good to follow models or people, like influencers, who are always posing half naked, whether it's a boy or a girl.
Mm.
Because, you know, like, for most of us, it's unattainable, because these people most likely will be working out 2 hours a day or taking steroids or taking, you know, tea detox. Those sort of things just don't work for most of us and will never work. So just very unattainable. So just unfollow them.
It's so hard because, like, it's like, do you know a lot of people take supplements before they go gym to get that hit? Mine is like, I look at my Instagram and I'm like, I want a six pack. Let's go. Scanning. Let's go.
I look at them and I'm just like, I just want to lay at home and do nothing. Now. I'm just, there's no point trying.
Well, as 2020 is approaching to an end, let's make this last episode amazing.
Let's take a live look now outside.
Ladies and gentlemen of America.
Ariana Grande lick and spit on the merchandise.
There can be 100 people in the room.
Leave Britney alone.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Rise and shine.
China.
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 Okay, all right. Let's talk about this person, because this person has pretty much taken over Instagram this past week, and we had discussions amongst ourselves whether or not we should name her, and I think it's best to not name the people involved in this, because I feel like, first of all, you don't want to give them more attention. Like, you don't want to put more people into their direction. But look, if you guys really want to find who this person is, it's going to be so easy to find on Instagram anyway. But for the sake of this segment, we're not going to name names because we don't, first of all, we don't want to encourage cancel culture. We don't want to encourage people to send bad, mean DMs to this person. So let's take the high road. We'll talk about the segment and try to be as nice as possible, Tom. Is that okay?
I was a bit unsure, but then I'm like, last week we talked about calling in, calling out, and I'm, ugh. Let's give it a go for 1 week, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
All right, okay, let's start it. Let's start. So there's this influencer. I think she's from France, but it's not confirmed yet, and she's studying in Singapore at the moment as an international student. And on her Instagram, she's posted pictures of her dressing up in the Chinese traditional costume, which is called the qi pao. Is that right? How you pronounce
it? Qi pao, yeah.
So she's wearing this costume, and there's photos of her where she's wearing it. I guess, like, when you're wearing it normally, you're normally covered, right? But for her, she's wearing it where her belly is showing, kind of like sexualizing her outfit a bit, kind of. And so it really didn't blow up until another influencer who was Asian, who lived in Singapore as well, she posted it on her story saying, you know, we welcome to your country, but if you're going to act like a racist asshole about it, kindly fuck off and unfollow me. And the reason why she's really upset is because this Caucasian girl, this French girl, she's standing in, you know, posing in front of these iconic Singapore landmarks, doing slanty eyes, like, you know, obviously mocking Asian people. And, you know, wearing this traditional outfit at the same time and just mocking Asian people and Chinese people. And she has the balls to, I guess, like, wear the qi pao and have a belly button showing, sexualizing it. And then in her Instagram caption, she writes ching chong.
Yeah.
Like, does it get any worse than that? Look, okay, so it's gotten really messy. Obviously, the other influencer, the Asian one, posted her story, and then she got a response from the other girl, the French girl. And she responded, I am clearly not racist, and what is wrong with it? It is just a picture for fun. You know, Chinese people have surgeries to have European eyes, and this is racism? I don't think so. If we are in a world where every picture or answer is turned into racism, there is no point living anymore. Hashtag expression power. Tom, first of all, let me get your thoughts on this.
When I first heard of this, like, when I first read about it, when he linked me this, I was like, are you for real? Like, we just came from a hashtag Black Lives Matter movement. Like, people not really learn or understand the culture behind or the impact of what they're doing. And the funny thing is, this girl also studied ethnic, whatever that means. Like, she studied...
Allegedly, she studied at Harvard doing ethnicity at work or something like that. I tried to Google it. I don't think this degree exists. And I don't care if you studied this degree, alleged degree in ethnicity in Harvard. Like, then you should just have common sense then. You know what I mean?
So, when I first heard about this story, I was like, well, like, you've been... having the audacity to say that because you've studied ethnic studies at Harvard University, it gives you the right to do slanty eyes or just be racist in general. Another thing which when I read about this was, I thought initially that the girl who posted this, her name is Lola, I can say her name, but Lola, when she first posted about the racist girl, I thought she called her in. Like, I thought she DM'd her and I thought she, like, messaged her and, hey, you shouldn't do this. But then you pointed out to me later that, no, she actually called her out initially.
So, just for a bit of context, last week we spoke about calling in instead of calling out. So, the idea about calling in is, instead of calling someone out publicly and just shaming them and saying, you know, at person, why are you so racist? The idea of calling in is that you take the other approach, where you take the higher road approach and you slide in their DMs and say, hey, you know, that pose that you did with the slanty eyes and wearing the cheap owl, that's not really acceptable anymore. You can't really do that anymore. And then you give them the space to, you know, just to clarify that it wasn't their intention to, you know, to come off as racist and for them to correct themselves. But I think this person, what was your name? Her name was Lola. So Lola...
Or maybe it's Iola with a capital I. I don't know.
Regardless, just call Lola.
Yep.
She posted onto her story and at her, and then it just blew off from there. So I guess, like, my question for you is, do you think if Lola had called her in instead of calling her out like we spoke last week, do you think this response and reaction would have been a bit different?
I think it would have been the same, to be honest. Seeing how her, like, her expression and her response now, which is so... it's just like she's adding more fuel to the fire. So, like, her Instagram just suddenly blew up and she's getting a lot more momentum. So now she's posting about on her Instagram story, wow, I reached 30,000 people who viewed my story. Wow, like this and that. So it makes it seem that her reaction actually doesn't really give a shit about what she's done.
It does seem like she's blasphemizing?
As boasting?
In, like, enjoying the spotlight. Boasting and enjoying the spotlight at the moment, because she's made several posts where she's like, wow, look at all these people follow me and watch my stories. And then she had I was watching her stories the other day and she had a poll. She was like, am I racist? And then, like, 91% of people voted yes. And
who are the 9%?
Her friends, probably. And then in the next slide, she reposted the results and she switched the yes and no's around. And she's like, look, see, I told you I'm not racist.
Oh, wow.
So it just seems like to me she's not taking this situation very seriously. And I think that's the part that kind of annoys me, because instead of, you know, having an engaging conversation about why this is offensive to so many Asian people, she's just saying, no, it's not racist. It's just you guys are just closed-minded and, you know, it's just not the right approach to dealing with this. Because I don't know how this is going to look on her if she's going to apply for another college or another for work, for example. Her name is now tarnished if anyone Googles her name.
I think as well that what the original post actually did, like, a step further, is that she actually contacted the Harvard institution. So she
went to a Singaporean school.
She goes to a Singaporean school. So it's a lot of what we call expat. A lot of international people do attend these schools. And these schools are, like, really prestigious. So, like, I just looked it up. Like this school that she goes to is, like, top 27 MBA in the global, top 3 in the world for business. So this girl is actually highly educated, but for her not to be educated in culturally about what she's doing is incorrect, and then further not taking account for what she did, it just makes it like, oh.
Well, the school has responded and saying, you know, they don't tolerate this behavior and that they're going to look into this matter a bit more, I guess, like, closely and take the right actions. Look, I really hope this does happen. I have a bit more hope because it's in Singapore. It is a very Asian country. Lots of Asian people do live there. So maybe there might be some actions taken there. But it got me thinking, though, in her message, she did write that a lot of Asian people get surgery to look more European. And she said that, is that not cultural appropriation? Before I give my response, what is your response to that?
No, it's really, like, when you asked me that question, I was like, ooh, that is an interesting question. I can see where that question is coming from, but the reason behind that Asian people do get surgery to look more European is because for many men, like centuries, not centuries, I don't know how long, but for many, many years, like they've been told that their slanty eyes, their nose is too flat, their eyes is too small, lips is too small, their cheekbones are too much, like their skin is just too dark. So, and then having been grown up in a society where they're telling you all these things, we need to glorify European features. And then when they actually go do it, they still get blasted anyway. So it's like, how can you win?
Yeah. And like, this person is exactly the reason why so many Asian people get surgery to have bigger eyes or to look more European, is because there's people like that doing slanty eyes and mocking Asian people. Of course we're not going to love our eyes, you know. Of course we're not going to love our nose. So it's just like, can't you see the reason why people are offended over this post? And I feel like she's completely missing the point where she's like saying, how's me wearing a qipao offensive? It is offensive because you're wearing it and you're mocking Asian people with it. You're doing the slanty eyes. That's the offensive part.
Did you see her friend's comment?
Yes.
I don't even understand what it means, like, low coronavirus.
Because she wrote Ching, like, she
Ching
wore,
Chong Ching coronavirus. Chong. Maybe it's just her. But that being said, though, there's a lot of people from France who actually did comment, say, sorry, guys, this is not a great representation of people from our country, so please do not generalize us. And that's actually a really important point to make, because this is just, like, the 0.001%. Also, when I was reading the comments, there was actually a lot of people blasting the original poster too, saying that this is just a publicity for her OnlyFans account, for her branding. What do you think about that?
Oh, okay, give some context first. So the context is, the person who posted this, she has an OnlyFans account, which is nothing wrong with that. Everyone is doing their own thing. So we don't, you know, we don't care what you guys do, what everyone does. But yeah, like you said, a lot of people have commented and said that she's doing this as publicity for OnlyFans. And I don't think so. Like, I read that, what that girl posted, I was pissed off. And I was like, should I just post this on a Lemon account? But I'm like, no, last week we spoke about calling.
No, we need to call in.
Calling in.
Look, this whole calling in, like, we need to take the high road. I'm actually not really enjoying it that much. Because
well,
I'm like,
do it,
dumb bitch.
But like, it, like, secretly behind closed doors, I was really annoyed. I'm just like, how could you completely miss the point here? You're living in an Asian dominated country where a lot of Asian people live, and you don't understand why it's offensive to so many Chinese people. Like, hello.
And even if the original poster did post it for clout and for her OnlyFans or for branding or numbers or whatever, who cares? Like, she's calling out something that is offensive for a lot of people. So for her to have the balls to do it, I don't think it's about her branding, because she just has as much to lose just as that. Not as much, but she does have a bit to lose as well.
And do you think in this situation, calling out would have been the right approach? I feel like by this point, if she's continually boasting how many views she has and, like, you know, how many followers she's getting, I think that's
it's warranted, I guess, like, seeing her response. But initially, like, calling in would be great, but then calling out isn't a bad thing either.
Look, I've always said that we don't have all the answers here.
We don't, and we're just going back in our word, but hey, live your best life.
Well, we'd love to know what you guys think. You know, is it ever okay to pose with slanted eyes? Oh, by the way, before we go, I want to ask, is it okay for Asian people to pose with slanted eyes?
I think it's okay. I think I hate to use this word, like, reclaim, but it's actually like us doing it to mock what people are mocking us. It's kind of the same thing when
black people use the
N-word, or, like, let's, for example, we can use, like, call each other Ching Chong, but it's not right for anybody else to call us Ching Chong, because we've had the history of being, like, we want to diminish the meaning behind this word, I guess. But for us to do our own slanty eyes or do call each other, I think it's okay.
I think the Ching Chong thing is, I think I've seen some Asian rappers and stuff use it in their music, and I think it's great that they're using that to reclaim it. But with slanted eyes, I feel a bit different. I feel like it's so visual. Like, I just, you know, my childhood, I just remember all the times when people have mocked my small eyes, because, like, I have pretty small eyes. And a lot of people have done that towards me growing up, and it's just such a reminder. I just don't want anyone to do it, because I feel like it's just such a reminder to our community.
Actually, you're right. I take back what I said. You're right. It's actually not a good thing to do.
Well, you know, we'll love to know what you guys think. What do you guys think about this ordeal? Like, how would you have handled it? Would you have, like, messaged her and just hoped for the best? Or would you have done the same thing and called her out? Head over to our Facebook page or Instagram page and let us know what you think. There'll be more Lemon coming up, but first, here's a few words from today's sponsors. I think every week I come onto the show, I always just have to keep saying, I'm just addicted to TikTok. Like, I just can't stop scrolling. It's just so addictive. You just never know what you're going to get on TikTok.
Yesterday, you made me watch so many TikTok videos. And by the end, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm done. Like, how can you just keep watching 15 seconds over and over and over again?
It is the best. At this point, I wish TikTok had some integration where you can just, like, Chromecast it to your TV and just, like, watch it. That would be a dream come true for me. But look, this week, I wanted to talk about a particular TikTok trend that is going very viral in TikTok land at moment. So it's a trend where people are, I guess, like replying to this TikTok where the person asks, respond to this TikTok with the best advice your psychiatrist or psychologist has ever given to you. And one of the responses has gone particularly viral because she talked about how her psychologist told her to think about life differently and think about life in a way where, you know, to not always set goals. You know, goals like losing 10 kilos or make $100,000 or those sort of goals where it's a bit more concrete where there's numbers.
Mm.
And to take a different approach where you, I guess, like make life-based goals instead where, you know, you say...
Value-based goals.
Oh, value-based goals, sorry. Where you say, you know, I want to be a better person in general. I just want to eat healthier. I just want to have financial freedom for myself or something like that.
Mm.
Like those are more about value-based, about things that you believe in.
Yep.
So this got me thinking because the last couple of weeks privately we've been having these conversations. You've been talking about value-based goals a lot, how you've been discussing it at your church. And last night I actually had this discussion with my trainer as well because for those of you guys who don't know, I was very overweight when I was younger, when I was 15. I dramatically lost a lot of weight. And then I kind of became like very obsessive with losing weight and I had... I guess what people would say body dysmorphia, where I just kept wanting to lose weight and look thinner and there was just no stop to it. And so when I started training with my trainer about 3 months ago, I told him that I intentionally do not want to set a goal where I want to lose like 10 kilos or 5 kilos because I don't want to get into that mindset and that trap again. So I said to him, I want to set a goal where it's just going to be, I just want to eat healthy in general. I just want to feel fitter. I just want to enjoy eating healthy and getting fit again. And so we set out that. And I think the past 2-3 months, I've achieved that goal. And my results have been, I guess, like in terms of weight and stuff like that, is kind of plateaued a bit. And I'm getting a bit frustrated. I'm just like, I can't lose that 1 kilo, 2 kilo that I want to lose. And so last night, we kind of reached a decision where we were like, okay, maybe we just need to take an approach where it's a mixture of both because I feel like at the moment I achieved that goal and just like I'm complacent again. I don't want to do anything else. I'm just like, I've done my goal here. All right, Tom, I've ranted long enough. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about this?
When you showed me this TikTok, it's pretty much summed up exactly how like this whole thing that I've been talking about, like this whole movement that's like, yes, let's get rid of the numbers. And the reason why is because like you said at my church, right? What we're actually discussing is that we're actually focusing a lot on things which last a lifetime. Where, for example, a goal-based life would be something where you put a lot of your effort or your energies into something which actually doesn't last forever. Like, for example, what I've noticed a lot is that a lot of people who are at our age, they put a lot of energy into achieving achievements. And what happens if you don't achieve those achievements? It's like, for example, being 2019, nobody knew what 2020 was going to be like. A lot of my friends, they were like, in 2019, I'm going to travel to this country, I'm going to take a gap year, I'm going to get this award, but this year I'm going to make sure I hit my KPIs, like all those business talk. And then 2020 happened and then crap, everything like messed up. And those people who set those achievements, those goals, who don't get it, they are in a very different mindset at this moment. It's because they weren't able to reach those goals. So I feel that when you shift your mindset from a goal-based life to a value-based life, there is a lot less disappointments. And the happiness and the peace in life is a lot more... starts with S. What's that word? Sustainable. Mm. A lot more sustainable.
And so what kind of goals have you set for yourself then? What are some life-based goals that you have set for yourself?
So my life-based goal is like, obviously it's around strength around God, right? So it's like, you know, making sure that I have an amazing relationship with God, continue to build that relationship with God. But it's also about relationship with people now. It's like when my younger years, I always be like, I want to get Dean's Honours List, tick, got it. I want to graduate from University of Melbourne, tick, got it. But then you actually don't learn to smell the roses along the way. So then what I realized, the reason why I kind of quit my job and just do what I love, which is music, podcasting, just doing whatever I want. And my life has just completely changed so much. And for me, my values is like being more compassionate to people, trying to be a lot more kinder, but a little bit more blunt too. And just saying, being a bit more, I guess, having a better relationships with my mom, family, friends, and like what you said, not actually meeting people for the sake of meeting people, but actually building the quality relationships with people.
But how do you measure those goals though? Because like in life, we get, especially in work situations, we get told to have measurable goals where, you know, where you can actually measure towards something. Because I feel like if you take a life-based approach goal in general, you can't really measure that. You can't really say, I achieved my goal. Do you know what I mean? So doesn't that lead to a point where you become, either you give up or you become complacent because you think, I've done my part now, I've done it. So where does it end though?
The thing is, that's why I really think that goal-based life is not very healthy, because it's all about numbers. It's like how many things that you can reach, how many countries have you visited, how many followers or numbers do you have? But having a value-based life, it is a little bit immeasurable in terms of KPIs and numbers, but you ask yourself the question, am I happier? Am I happier doing this? Am I a lot more peaceful with my life? How's my relationship with my friends? How's my relationship with my mom? And those are the questions that you ask yourself, I guess, to measure how great your quality of life is.
I think there's no one way. I think we need to have a blend of both, because I can see where you're coming from, but also come from a point where I guess like some goals, I think goal-based goals are good for short term, and I think they're really good for, you know, working towards something. But I feel like, you know, if you only have life-based goals, you will become complacent. Like, for example, my health and fitness, I know it's a bit more lowbrow than, you know, doing God's work and stuff like that. But, you know, going back to my situation, you know, when I first starting out to reset my health and fitness journey, I was only set out to just enjoy it and just to have fun in it. And I have been having fun. I have been enjoying it. But now it's come to a point where I just feel comfortable. I just feel complacent. And I feel like in these situations, it's good to have, you know, some short-term goals where you might be a bit more numerical, where it's like lose 2% body fat or 5% body fat, stuff like that. I feel like those sort of goals and is good. And then have a blend of being set and say like, overall in the long term, I want to make this sustainable. I want to, yeah, continue to enjoy it. I think we need to have a hybrid.
I do understand that you need to have a hybrid. I do disagree that goal-based life is a short term. I think that can be long term and it can be healthy. But let me ask you this question. Are you more happy with your body now, or with your mindset with your body now, than when you were at your most skinniest?
I am definitely happier now.
Exactly. And you don't have to measure that, right?
Yeah, but then there's, I want to continue working on it. Mm-mm. And I feel like at the moment, because I'm very complacent now, there's a very high likely chance I'm going to revert back to my old ways because I'm complacent. I'm not working on continuing it. Do you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
I get it. And I think it's just a journey. And I don't think, I think a value-based life will never end. And you always have something to reach for. Whereas, like, I'm not shitting on achievements. Like, you can achieve the highest things in the world and it's not a bad thing. But it's actually the underlying question is, what is your intention of achieving those goals? Why are you achieving those goals? Mm-hmm. Rather than, I'm going to achieve those goals because that's what I'm going to do and it's the best thing. And then I get that pressure from my friends. Like, for example, do you know when you tell your friends, like, I'm going to go travel to Singapore for 6 months and quit my whole life in Australia and do my dentistry there? And then what if your mind changes? Like, what if you don't want to do that anymore? There's a lot of pressure. Like, for example, you tell your friends, I'm going to lose 10 kilos in a year, right? And then now you have to do it because you've told your friends to do it. Whereas if you told your friends, I'm going to fall in love with my body a little bit more, I'm going to enjoy food a little bit more, you know, take my time to lose weight, not rush it, be more gentle on myself and have more patience with myself. And your friends are like, great. And then you can take as long as you want, but those goals will never stop. Like, that will just keep on going. Not goal. Oh my God. These terms are really, I hope people understand what I'm trying to say, but it's really, the terms we're using are really confusing, but I hope that's what I'm trying to say.
I think the example of maybe an Olympian is good, because some Olympians, they train their whole lives to to win a gold medal. And then when they do win a gold medal, they become depressed because they set a, what we call a goal-based
life.
Life, if that kind of, if that
yeah,
makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, right,
they
live
a goal-based life. And so, yeah, when they achieve that, they become a gold medalist, they become the best in the world, they become depressed because, like, what do I do now? But if they had taken a life approach where they're just like, I just want to be good at swimming, and they achieve gold medal, what does that mean for the Olympian then?
No, I think it's more like, I'm going to be the best swimmer because I'm going to show people in my country that I can actually do great things. So the people below me, my younger generation, can look up to me, and then I'll continue succeeding that for the rest of my life, rather than I'm going to win a gold medal and that's it. And it's not that we're shitting, or I'm not shitting on people with achievements is great. Like, yeah, it's in the intentions behind it. Like, an example I can give is earlier this week, right? I hope that she's not listening. But my mom has a friend from a long time ago, and they used to work in the same company together, right? And so my mom left that company, but then my mom's friend this year, she's in her late 60s, and she has the opportunity to take a retrenchment package, and the package is a lot of money. So then when she contacted my mom, I was like, Mom, I was like, hey, what do I do? What do I do? Mom's like, take it. Hello. Like, you're going to retire soon. Enjoy the rest of your life. And then she thought about it for a while. And then finally she decided to take that package, that retrenchment package. And 2 days later, she called my mom and she's like, I almost wanted to kill myself 2 days ago. And oh crap, I should have said a bit of a trigger warning, but it came, like, she got so depressed. Like, 2 days after she took her, she's like, what do I do with my life? And my mom's like, you just took the money, live your best life. Like, people would work slave away to get that money. Now you have that money, do what you absolutely love, you know? And then she's like, but my heart's been hurting so much. Like, I can't breathe. I can't sleep. And when you put your identity in goal-based things, whether it's KPIs, achievements, career goals, how many countries you want to visit, things like numbers, when you get that and then that's it, you become really sad.
I guess so. I think the more we talk about this, the more I agree with you. But look, I'd always claim that we're not psychologists.
We're not psychologists.
So we'll love to know what you guys think. So head over to our Facebook page and Instagram page and let us know what you think. Like, do you think taking... I always get confused. Take a life-based approach or take a goal-based approach?
You can do both. Like, you are doing both at the same time, but it's your mindset of where you want to go to in life.
I guess, like, the overarching.
The overarching. Yeah. Like, for me, like, I want to win a Grammy. I want to get a number one Billboard hit, but that's not my goal.
And not the end goal.
That's not my end goal. Like, that would be great. Like, cool, I get to tick that off. But my goal is to bring people to God. Like, that's the only thing. And I'm going to do that through music or podcasting or whatever. But before we sign off, I just want to say one thing. Like, we don't know what's going to happen in tomorrow. And to me, it's like we're only fogs. Like, we're just here 1 second and we're gone. So honestly, the people who are listening, just have a value-based life. Like, I promise you, you're going to be so much more fulfilling.
Okay, I will take on that analogy and I will smog and float away. but head over to our Facebook page and Instagram page and let us know what you think. All right, it's recommendation time. Well, last week you recommended something.
What did I recommend?
We tend to recommend the same thing. So this is a collective recommendation again. So,
but to be fair, I recommended this movie too.
You did. You did recommend this.
It was recommended to me by my best friend, Kim. Hello, shout out to Kim.
But last night we watched this movie, The Call, which features... what's her name again? Park Shin-hye. She's in every Korean drama and she always plays a really smart girl.
She wasn't very smart in
this movie. In this movie, she's questionably smart. But the whole movie was about, how do you sum this movie up? It was kind of a bit of a open to interpretation.
So this movie is about, it's a thriller. It's not a horror movie or anything like that. I thought it was a horror movie, so I was like, ooh, I want to watch it. But it's about a girl, the leading actress, that she comes from a family where there was a lot of, her dad passed away. And then she moves into this house to take care of her mom at the same time. But this house is kind of like a bit magical where she gets a bit of a phone call from somebody. And then, like, that phone call is actually somebody from the past, exactly about 20 years ago. And then she kind of conjures up this plan with the girl from the past to bring her dad back to life. And through these events, you actually kind of realize that the small things that you do in the past have a massive, massive ripple effect into the future.
These people have not watched 9 seasons of Charmed like I have, like 8 seasons of Charmed. Like in Charmed, they always say, don't mess with the past.
Don't mess with fate
because if you do, you'll change everything.
Everything.
And that's exactly what happened. She asked that girl in the past to save her dad, and then from then the movie just went into like shits.
And this movie was a little bit, how to say, very fast, like boom, 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 boom. What I loved about this movie was the cinematography, the effects that, wow, like, whoa, these are like Marvel level effects that these Korean people are putting together. And what I also loved about it is that it was really fast paced. So it just moved quick, where it's like, oh, an hour in, like, oh, now it's starting to happen.
I actually do. Last night I commented, I was just like, wow, Asian cinema has just grown so much. And I just love how, like, Korea in Pacific is becoming the new Hollywood, like the Hollywood of Asia. And is that fair to say? Would you say that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that and China, I guess, both of them. I mean,
Bollywood.
Bollywood.
Yeah. Look, I love how it's just not in Hollywood now. The money is slowly moving towards Asia.
Yeah.
I think the Chinese box office is like second in the world and it's going to overtake Hollywood very, very soon.
They said in less than 10 years going to do that.
So that's amazing. And I think, yeah, I'm just amazed by the constant improvements in Asian cinema.
But that's what we recommended last week. We recommended going to the movies and watch it.
Yes.
But
this one's only on Netflix.
You're allowed to watch it. But what I loved about this movie as well is that it also kind of taught me. I mean, I feel like when I watch movies or TV shows, it's always like there's an underlying message, right? Like, don't mess with the past, number one. But number two is like the things that you can, like, when I was watching it, like the very final thing that made me feel was the small things that you can say can affect the future. The words that you say to people, the things that you do, which could be a mean or very nice, it has a big effect on the greater future that we don't even know about. And it's a little bit scary sometimes.
I've taken a different message. The message I've taken was...
Is it more Charmed-based?
It is very Charmed. No, it's not. But it's more about, you know, like, the past is the past. Let's keep it in the past. We need to work on the future and what's coming next, because when you try to change things in the past, it's just not going to work, girl.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. No, that's actually a really good point. So leave everything that... let bygones be bygones.
Yes, that biblical verse. Yep.
That's not from the Bible, is it?
Is it not? I thought it was.
Everything I say, you think it's actually from the Bible.
I have no idea at this point. But if you want to watch something, a nice movie, a nice thriller, it wasn't scary, there's no jump scares. You can watch The Call on Netflix, which should be available worldwide. And that's all we have time for today. Unfortunately,
Yeah, sorry.
Not unfortunately, because we had a very good year this year.
No, we had a great year
in terms of
year.
Podcasting. But we will be taking a little break over Christmas and the New Year's.
So, for like, what, 2 weeks? 1 week?
We might take a 2 or 3 week break. We worked very hard this year. But thank you guys so much for tuning into the show this year. Our show has grown so much this year, like, especially in Singapore. We're apparently really popular there. And all the other countries that we're in. Why are you laughing?
No, because you always make the same comment about how my exes are all from Singapore.
It's true though. Like 3 out of 3 are from Singapore.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in as always. And we'll see you guys next year. So have a good Christmas and a New Year's and enjoy your holidays.
And please stream my song.
And stream Christmas this year.
Bye-bye.
Bye.